Welcome to Transition, Gadget 360's gaming and pop culture podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the most interesting topic on this planet, which is Xbox All Access. Now, Microsoft really wants you to stop buying consoles and games and just pay like one single subscription fee, which works out to a really low price per minute, if you think about it, and enjoy all of your games. So will it succeed? Will it not succeed? Is this a good move? Is this not a good move? To talk about all of this, we have our games editor, that's Rishi Albani.
Hey, I don't think anyone looks at buying stuff per minute, but okay, we'll go with that.
All right, friend of the podcast, Mikhail Madnani is here to extol the virtues of buying per second.
Yeah, I mean, like, when you start talking about the value of a game or value of a purchase per minute, you're kind of getting into Steam reviews territory for where people complain about how games are only 3 hours long if they've spent, like, 5 rupees or something. Well, not 5 rupees, but yeah, you get what I'm saying, so.
Right then, and I'm your host, Pranay Parab. Well, personally, I feel this is a great scheme, you know. I mean, all sarcasm aside, for those who will never think of buying a console and then spending 4,000 rupees per game, but for existing customers, like for people who already bought a console and have paid a lot of money for all the games that they have, yeah, well, tough luck.
Yeah, so anyway, what it is essentially is Xbox All Access is a new program limited to the US for now, which allows you to buy an Xbox One S or an Xbox One X, have access to over 100 games on Xbox Game Pass, as well as have access to Xbox Live Gold, which is Microsoft's multiplayer service, all for a low monthly cost. Now, the cost in the US works out to $35 if you want the Xbox One X per month and $22 for the Xbox One S. Now, while this is what it costs in the US, and if you do a conversion, it essentially works out to roughly 2,400 rupees for the Xbox One X and around 1,900 to 2,000 rupees for the One S. Now the other part of this is that it's a two-year lock-in, and if you don't want to, and if you want to pay up front, you just pay the balance on your cost, on your amount at any time. And now Microsoft's saying it's a limited time offer for qualified customers, and that's essentially what it is. Now, we've seen these schemes in other consumer electronic areas, particularly in smartphones, where you buy your phone attached to a contract, and when you do, you pay monthly. And that usually works out to be more expensive. Here, this works out to be cheaper. I mean, it works out to be the same price as what you'd pay if you had to buy an Xbox One X outright.
Yeah, exactly. But as you mentioned, this is targeted at the US market, where buying phones on contract is actually quite popular because of the way the market operates. So in that market, this kind of a scheme may prove to be quite popular, because somehow people seem to think that paying whatever a small monthly fee, even if you're paying much more in the longer run, is a better idea than paying upfront for it and owning the games that you buy, rather than, you know, a subscription service where everything goes away the moment things lapse, the moment you cancel.
Yeah, I agree completely. The question of ownership does come in. And right now, while Microsoft and the legion of analysts claim that Game Pass doesn't hurt retail sales, it's not exactly growing the market either. And we've seen some pushback from certain publishers like Ubisoft over subscription services, simply because they see it as a way of where content kind of gets devalued, where you can actually make more money continuing with things are. And that's one part of it. But what's interesting to me in this entire thing is that it essentially lowers the cost of entry. It allows more people access to hardware, more people access to the Xbox ecosystem. I mean, if you ask me, something like this in a country like India would be great. It's something that would work.
Yeah, so I will I'll show the positives of this move. So while you mentioned that you can have an Xbox One X at 2,400 rupees per month if you commit to 2 years of a lock-in. So I'm not sure if there's any down payment or any payment upfront.
No, there doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, so if you look at that, if assuming that, you know, it comes to India at around the same price, so 2,400 a month for a console that costs you something around 40,000-45,000 upfront, along with, you know, a bunch of games that come in the service, is a pretty good deal. If you look at it, it's what, about 80 rupees per day or about 3 rupees per hour of access that you see. So that's, you know, pretty much where the positives end for me.
But actually, if you think about it, if they did do this in India, it would cost a lot more. Reason being, the Xbox One X MRP is around 48,000 rupees. Divide that over 2 years, and that works out to, I think, roughly... 2 years or like, no, sorry, it broke around 2000 actually. My mind, sorry, 2000. That's not counting your Xbox Game Pass or Xbox Live. Add those in, and you're probably looking at, yeah, you're right, a similar figure.
Yeah, so I mean, around 3,500 per month should be like a pretty decent price point for India. But the bigger problem here is that unless a subscription service is dirt cheap, I don't think people are going to sign up for this kind of a thing. And secondly, the Xbox is notorious for the amount of bandwidth it requires. Already people are complaining with the Xbox One X. I mean, Rishi being one of them. He's almost exhausted his entire data cap for the month in spite of having like a 1 TB or something.
1.5.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually, I mean, just Halo Master Chief Collection just a few hours ago as of this recording got the Xbox One X patch. And it's just like a small patch which you have to download.
Only
it's
about, 73 GB.
So there you go. So and not 73 MB, it's 73 GB.
And here's the thing, right? 73 GB, and I have a 1.7 terabyte FUP. Yeah. And when the Xbox is on, let's just say those months, I get a message from my ISP saying I'm down to my last 50 gigs.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, and the other thing to keep in mind is, one is, yes, the bandwidth. And secondly, I do agree on your pricing, because if we look at consumer behavior across other subscription plans, if we look at how people use Netflix, how they use Hotstar, and Jio, whatever they have, I think Jio Cinema or Movies or whatever it's called, at least according to App Annie data, and what we know is that Hotstar is the number one, and that's because of the free tier. People do sign on when it comes to, you know, premium stuff like Game of Thrones, but it's basically a free tier where they have maximum users.
Yeah.
So I agree completely where the notion of paying for content, forget paying for a subscription, hasn't exactly gone mainstream yet.
Yeah, so Hotstar has something around 75 million subscribers, and most of them are on the free tier, which is rather generous. You get to watch cricket and other sports as well with a slight delay and some ads. And other stuff is also like quite generously available. Like a lot of content from Star's Indian channels is available on the service. And if you look at the other services like Amazon Prime Video, it costs about 1,000 rupees for a year, which is quite cheap, and it also includes Amazon's fast shipping, etc. So that is probably at number two, unless you count some of the others which have a free tier, which is, you know, the likes of Woot and Alt Balaji. So there is a very clear trend that Netflix is, you know, probably at the bottom of this chain because of its high entry barrier, which is 500 rupees a month minimum if you don't want HD. And I think last we checked, it was something around like a 1.5 lakh subscribers in India or something around that number.
According to some RTI data that was pulled up, if I'm not mistaken, originally by Medianama, the number was, I think, close to 2 lakhs.
Yeah, so...
And that was, I think, 6 months ago. Yeah. And if you count all the user acquisition that have happened since then, when they've tied up with PlayStation to give free Netflix subscriptions to
Vodafone, PS.
Yeah,
Airtel.
Vodafone also has
Vodafone,
a Yo.
Airtel.
Yeah, and then, the latest being, I think, Netflix had a thing with, like, they were going to announce it with Reliance Jio's GigaFiber. That was also reported by Factor Daily, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Airtel's broadband service also had some kind of a Netflix partnership.
Yeah, and my point is, like, even with these partnerships, they don't have the... they don't have the reach, right? Mm-hmm. And if you draw a parallel to Xbox Game Pass, and if you draw a parallel to Xbox Live Gold, back in the day when Microsoft had a different management, they were proudly touting that Xbox Live Gold had a lot of Indian subscribers, but when you actually drill down the numbers at that time, they wouldn't say that how much exactly. But checking through third party sites like which track achievements. The Indian user base at that time, and I think this was around 2010, 2011, was actually around 800 to 1,000 users paying.
A lot of users. So, seriously, in a country of more than a billion people, 800 to 1,000 of users.
And here's the thing. This was during the Xbox 360 era where Gears of War was a thing, where they had a massive install base, at least compared to what's going on with the Xbox One. They had a massive install base on the 360 back then. And even if you consider all, and if you take everything into account, right, you look at the fact that every first-party title you buy at retail has a, 14-day or 7-day trial for Xbox Live. and you have some of them even come with Xbox Game Pass subscriptions. Every Xbox One console you buy right now also comes with like a Game Pass and Xbox Live subscription. So point is, they, for Microsoft, that's what they've been doing. They've been pushing their subscriptions with their hardware. And there's only so much you can do after a point. And I think, like, you know, coming back to the Xbox All Access, this just seems to be the logical endpoint that, hey, let's just bundle everything together in one package and ship it across. What's interesting is that they're not allowing it for everyone. There's obviously a certain requirement. I'm guessing they'll do a credit check on whoever gets it. But I won't be surprised to see a bunch of enterprising Americans get on this deal and then flip the consoles on a GameStop for like a profit or something. So I won't be surprised if stuff like that even goes down.
But why would they flip it off for a profit? Like, what do they gain out of this thing?
I mean, you pay $35, okay, take it, and resell the console and disappear.
And then do what?
And then,
I mean, you can't do these things.
See, the thing is, it's, you know, we are thinking of this from a whatever non-criminal standpoint, but there have been so many cases where, like, in America especially, where somebody's social security number has been leaked and they've social engineered somebody else's credit card number and then bought things using that card. It's much easier to purchase things over there. They don't have that OTP nonsense that we have every time we want to make a purchase.
Exactly. So
enroll that stolen credit card on a subscription, sell the console, take the money, go away.
But the thing with subscriptions on consoles is, they can ban your console.
Yeah.
So
I mean, so whoever bought the stolen console gets.
Yeah. So you know, someone's getting screwed in this. Yeah. Besides, exactly. Microsoft and GameStop.
Does it game?
GameStop. Keep saying GameSpot.
Can't blame you, Kane and Lynch. Never forget.
So yeah, like that. I don't really see the value in doing that. It'll be good if they let you actually buy the console. Like, you can give the console to someone and you use the gold and the Game Pass, because there are a lot of people who just want that and they want to give a console to someone else. But knowing Microsoft, it'll probably be like bundled, where it's already, you know, like kind of like when you buy a Nintendo 3DS, it comes with pre-installed software. You can't actually get that out of it. It's probably going to be something similar, and they'll probably roll it out like more if it actually takes off and their limited customers actually ask for more stuff in the end. But I don't, like, it's going to take a while for it to even remotely come close to showing up in India, because Microsoft does everything USA first. Then they'll look at the UK. And then they'll be like, oh, like, then they'll start throwing darts on a dartboard to see which country gets things next and all. And India is probably going to be bottom of the barrel over there, because, like, we don't even get their, like, exclusive games anymore. Controllers show up misspelled, sold exclusively on Amazon, where the only way you find them is if you get an email from Amazon saying, hey, are you looking for this? Check something else. And okay, it's been available for months and no one knew about it.
So what Mike's referring to
is the Sea of Thieves controller. Yes. The Sea of Thieves controller, which was like sold out everywhere and was actually a limited edition thing, was supposed to show up in India, but it never ended up showing up anywhere. At least it wasn't offline, and Amazon was supposed to get it, but they didn't even get the game. So we just assumed the controller wouldn't show up. But turns out Theaves is how they spell Thieves in Sea of Thieves. And that's the only way you can make the controller show up. So yeah, like, Rishi got an email from Amazon India saying, people who search for Xbox games or something also look at this, and the controller was there. And I told him, I don't think this is there. It's probably bait email from Amazon where they're just showing you pictures of stuff you may want and you click and it won't be sold by them. But it turns out it was sold by them, and yeah, both of us ordered it. So
yeah, and then it's not just hardware, right? Like, even third party, Sonic Mania, for example, isn't on Xbox Live. Divinity Original Sin 2, not on Xbox Live. Firewatch, one of the best games of this generation, not on Xbox Live. Fortnite, not on Xbox Live for India, because allegedly Epic claims there are no Indian servers. I mean, until you have the basics in place, it's going to be a very tough sell to bring in a subscription service or hardware integrated with subscription services, as Mike says. But that being said, what I'm amused is, given how Microsoft has essentially pivoted to becoming a company that makes a lot of its revenue from subscriptions. If you look at Office, for example, and if you look at what they do with OneDrive, I find it fascinating that they only reached this conclusion now, this late in the console cycle. To me, it just seems like a way where, okay, this is the right time for them, because in 2 years, we're going to launch new hardware, and it'll be a good time to get people on board now and upgrade them 2 years down the line, keep them locked in. To me, it just seems like a long-term lock-in play where you have people on board with a 1S or a 1X, one year's up or 2 years up, and when they announce new ones, hey, pre-order, you're in day one.
Yeah, exactly. And I am actually I'm not very surprised that they're doing this right now, because if I'm not mistaken, in a earnings call or something, the Sony executive said something similar, right? Their play is now going to be more of an ecosystem thing, where they're going to be focusing on getting more money from their services side, because, you know, the PS4 also is pretty much in the end of its life cycle. So, you know, I'm not very surprised to see Microsoft making this kind of a play right now, as opposed to earlier when they launched their console.
But then here's the other thing. Microsoft's play has always been ecosystem. And it's quite amusing from a consumer standpoint, because on one end, you have most of the great content on PS4, be it Uncharted, God of War, upcoming Spider-Man, Persona, the Yakuza, the likes. Most of them are on PS4, right? But PSN as a service is, well, not exactly the most stable and not exactly the most reliable. And on Microsoft's side, you have best-in-class ecosystem, you have best-in-class network. And I kind of agree Microsoft chief, marketing chief, Aaron Greenberg says a lot of things, but the one thing worth believing him on is the fact that the Xbox Live is reliable. And I can vouch for that. I prefer playing multiplayer there, because it's super reliable. They've had less downtime than PlayStation. And more importantly, the support is actually there. If something goes down, if you need any redressal, they're always there to support you. And this is something I've had to deal with on several occasions. Like, I'm not proud of this, but one time when Mortal Kombat 10 was out, I kind of accidentally purchased the season pass.
No, you bought the crypt unlock, which let you avoid doing the whole like unlocking mini game thing, which they had in the dungeon thing.
Yeah, so I kind of did that, and it was a complete mistake on my part, and the support was good enough to refund me.
But that was a one-time thing, right?
Not really. Then a month ago, when Darksiders 3 was mispriced, I picked that up. That was like going for like, I think, 2,000 rupees for Darksiders 3 plus 1 and 2. I picked that up.
The price error.
Yeah, the price error. And again, Microsoft was kind enough to honor me a refund on that. So the support's been good, and there's actually someone there. It's not like with PlayStation where, you know, sending a message out into the universe and you hope someone replies, because I've experienced that as well. When I picked up, I think, Call of Duty Black Ops 3 digitally, and then, you know, I needed just to get some information on how certain codes work. There was like no one to help out. So I kind of agree there that from a consumer standpoint, the Xbox has the better infrastructure, but the content isn't there yet. I mean, at least for a lot of people in India, it doesn't seem to be there yet. Who knows? Maybe that'll change next gen, because, you know, Microsoft have bought a boatload of studios. We might see some stuff there. But as it stands right now, I mean, it's a pretty weird place to be for a consumer, because the infrastructure is on Xbox, but the games are on PlayStation. Pick and choose.
And also, like, even if they do get the games and they get like weird stuff, or they get like, you know, the interesting niche stuff which a lot of people like playing in addition to the AAA stuff, the pricing on Xbox is just all over the place digitally. Like, if you want to pick up Dark Souls 3 with the season pass, you can get that physically on Amazon India for about 2,000 rupees now, but digitally it's like 7,000 or 5,000 depending on when a sale is on. Yeah. Meanwhile, they're releasing Dark Souls Trilogy in the US for $80. So you could actually get all three games cheaper than it is to just buy Dark Souls 3 on Xbox in India. That's because of how their pricing is.
Yeah,
so,
even Overwatch on Xbox for some reason is
5,000.
Yeah, 5,000 rupees, which is really weird. But then, that aside, I mean, what would be interesting to see is if Xbox All Access takes off. And as Pranay mentioned, right, that Sony's looking to increase revenue from services. Who knows? We could just see Sony and Nintendo decide to do something similar. I mean, more Sony than Nintendo.
Exactly. Nintendo, I genuinely don't think, you know, a company that still ships region-locked consoles is, I don't think, you know, in any way, like, equipped to do an online subscription service. And, you know, a company that's also, like, known to mess up their online thing. I mean, Mike, are you able to play Splatoon 2 without that devil ritual where you sort of, you know...
So you can play Splatoon 2 as a solo game online with other people, yeah. But if you want to play with friends, yeah, you have to, like, get a squid, you have to get an octopus, sacrifice them and stuff like that to be able to, like, hopefully get matched into a game with a friend on your side.
No animals were harmed in the creation of this podcast.
Or this joke. Yeah. But, yeah, you need to download their region-locked app, so much for, like, being region-free and all, and so much for, like, Nintendo people even showing up in India at dev conferences when they don't even want to sell some games and apps over here, which you need to kind of use their service. So.
Yeah, but then that's a secondary thing, right? They're here because they want content from Indian developers.
But they don't want to like let the Indian consumers get the content.
Yeah, because we're not a market for them.
Yeah, exactly.
It's as simple as that.
So sadly. Nintendo definitely not
which,
happening.
Which is funny because if depending who you ask, you'll see a lot of retailers say that Switch sales are
higher
much
than
better
Xbox.
Than, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean like... in a lot of games, even a third-party Games the Shop and all that, like the Xbox version usually doesn't even show up in the stores. It's just like a few copies for online sales only, but the stores will always stock the Switch versions and the PS4 versions. So
yes.
Like, yeah.
So I don't see Nintendo doing this at all. Now,
let's see if they can even launch their online paid service in a few weeks and like get
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Because and here's the other thing. It's not like this is the first time we're seeing Microsoft do a monthly service like this. Back in the day, at least this was India specific. And I'm guessing the reason for this happening in India was because they were stuck with a lot of 360 stock.
Mm.
Was that they had some really weird, I think it was some Valentine's Day offer where you pick up an Xbox 360. This is the generation one, white ones, with the 20 gig hard drive. And you pay a certain amount each month, and it's yours at the end of it. They did that. I think like back in 2011, 2012, to ensure at least whatever excess stock was out of the system. But then that aside, we haven't seen too many examples of Microsoft trying to do this in a big way. The fact that they're doing this in the US first as a testbed would be fascinating to see. If it picks up, it could be across. We could see it in other countries. And that being said, would Sony do something similar? I mean, at least from an India standpoint, they don't need to. They're already selling the hardware very well. People don't have an issue picking it up. Supply isn't a problem. Cost isn't a problem. The price of games, in fact, is lower too. I mean, you can pick up PS4 games as low as $9.99 and even lower if you know where to look. So the pricing isn't an issue as well. It's just a question of whether they think it makes sense to go down that road. And frankly, at least I don't see that happening, at least in India.
Yeah, I mean, for Sony anyway, like they are more interested in making money from stuff like remasters and signing you up to PS Plus for multiplayer and, you know, related things. But I don't think they're going to dilute their hardware so much that, you know, you start thinking of it as something that I can get for like 30 rupees per hour or 3 rupees per hour.
Yeah, they haven't even, like a lot of people thought, a lot of people still think PSVR has failed, but it seems to be still doing better than the other VR headsets, surprisingly. The market's definitely small. But yeah, a lot of people thought they're going to bundle that with the PS4 like they would with the Vita, but Sony never ended up doing either of those. There was a bundle with the Vita and the PS4, but it was like almost as much as buying both of them separately. So even if the hardware does fail, like all these, the secondary hardware, as I like to call them, they won't devalue the hardware at all. In fact, like a PS Vita memory card still costs more than the audio recording equipment for this podcast right now. So yeah.
You know, thanks for like taking a dig at the low budget surroundings. But
I wasn't,
no, it's not about the low budget surroundings.
Trust me, the Vita like, memory cards make Apple employees salivate at their margins.
Yeah, that plus, I mean, like it's literally, I'm not even joking here. As one of the two Vita connoisseurs on this podcast, I will say that the memory card prices are kidney level jokes.
Yeah,
like you can buy a new Vita or you can buy a 64GB memory card for the Vita at almost the same price.
Exactly. So, it's a messy situation.
Yeah, and also you have to look at things like the PS Plus subscription, right? So, you're promised a bunch of free games every month.
Yeah.
So, some of the best games have still not made it to PS Plus in the free tier.
But some of the best games have, like Bloodborne, Ratchet & Clank.
Yeah,
Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
What about Last of Us?
That is, dude, if you want Last of Us cheap, you just like walk down the road.
I know, but
shout,
what I'm saying is...
Shout Last of Us and you'll have 5 retailers throwing you copies for free.
Yeah, it's almost like...
Last of
even
Us...
Even Uncharted 4 is like $800 if you know where to look now. So like that
I
means
mean,
nothing.
It's reached a point where, I mean, and that's the irony of the entire situation, right? On Xbox All Access, the arguments against Xbox All Access are... have to do with devaluation of content, and devaluation of games by selling them on subscriptions. When the same makers of said games are more than happy to discount their own product to ridiculously low levels and sell them to you separately.
Hmm.
It's a fascinating business model. On one end, you have games like, you know, something from Ubisoft, which would usually cost $14.99 going down to $9.99 and less. But at the same time, hey, we can't devalue content, so we don't want to support subscription services. It's really amusing.
I mean, yeah, Ubisoft definitely has no right to say that. Like, I don't know, like, do they even make single-player games anymore? It's all, like, online subscription stuff.
That's such hate.
Yeah.
That is, like, some next-level hate, man. I mean, Far Cry 5 was pretty good from a single-player standpoint.
Yeah.
In fact, Far Cry 5's co-op was pretty badly done, but the single-player was really good.
Exactly.
Yes. Assassin's Creed Odyssey is coming out. Even if Assassin's Creed Odyssey is a Greek reskin of Assassin's Creed Origins, it'll still be well worth it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And then, I mean, Origins was really good too. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that. I would agree that, yes, some of the post-game content is a little ostentatious. But it's mainly been good single-player. Unless you count Siege. Siege is pure multiplayer.
Siege, Division.
Division is a good single-player, bro.
I mean, just skip anything which has Tom Clancy in the name and you'll be fine for single-player stuff.
Crew 2. Never forget Crew 2.
Crew 2 is not single-player.
Yeah,
so I don't blame you. It's supposed to be called Tom Clancy's the Crew. 2.
Cool, right then. So let's move to the section that we've been waiting to talk about, the games we've been playing this week. So I didn't play Persona 5 in the previous weekend, but before that I did play a bunch of games. So one of them was this one game that went free. It was called Slay Away Camp on iOS. So it's a, like, you know, kind of disturbing game, considering that your main goal is to play the role of a serial killer and kill a bunch of people, including police and random innocent victims. But it's got some decent puzzles, which I really enjoyed. I finished about like 3 chapters before recording this podcast, and then I deleted it because I was getting too addicted to it and I had too much work pending and my boss was breathing fire down upon my neck. Really good game that I linked to in the show notes that everyone should definitely check out. So apart from that, I don't think I sat down to play too many games unless you count as like real life and sitting and working as a game. So yeah, that's pretty much it. Rishi?
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of this game, which I'm sure some of you would have heard of. It's called Spider-Man.
It's called Marvel's Spider-Man.
Oh, I didn't know you were allowed to say that we are playing that game.
No, you are. Now that's all you're allowed to say.
So I was playing Spider-Man. Wait, I got there first.
But that's all you're allowed to say.
Yeah.
Right for now.
Yeah, so, Rishi was playing Spider-Man and I sort of like did a web zip something on him.
Just sounds wrong, but yeah, bottom line is we've been playing Spider-Man and that's all we can say at this juncture.
Yeah,
we've been playing Spider-Man on the PS4 and PS4 Pro. That is what we are saying right now about the game. That aside, I've been playing...
I really, about Spider-Man, I'll give my first impressions. The controller was really nice, man. The blue-colored DualShock controller that I use. So really nice. I mean, I love pressing the buttons on it.
So I've been playing Spider-Man. Check out our site for the full review, along with a ton of other content around the game, closer to embargo.
September 4th.
September 4th.
Yeah, next week you'll have a lot of information on this.
So that's all I'll say right now, Spider-Man.
Yeah, Mike.
Also, Spider-Man, that's all I'll say about that. A lot of Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, because a lot of a few of my friends who are also reviewing it, also playing it. So yeah, I've been playing that online, trying out stuff. Really good, really, really good. It releases today alongside Yakuza Kiwami 2, which you should definitely get. And I think there's another game called PES 2019, which releases, but I don't think any of us are playing it or will be playing it.
So. Yeah, crickets.
Yeah, so basically, yeah, just that. And, forgot that the Hearthstone Puzzle Lab, playing that. I think even Pranav, you were discussing that. It's a single-player free expansion, which just showed up as an update for everyone. You didn't need to pre-purchase card packs or anything. This is like Dungeon Run. You just get it if you have Hearthstone or if you boot it up. But to actually finish it without using a guide, you kind of need some Hearthstone knowledge and stuff, and you need to know how some cards work. Because they are essentially all like single level puzzles where you need to like either clear the board or you need to mirror what's on the other side, or you need to like survive a 29 damage hit and stuff like that.
Yeah, your health is 30.
There are multiple levels. I think there are 80 levels overall when you look at the thing split up or something like that. But there's 20 level sets with 8 levels inside it or something. So yeah, 100 and whatever.
So the number of levels per set varies.
Okay, so I think in the end it's about 100 or something like that. But there are 20 groups of levels, I'd say. Difficulty ramps up, and when you finish it, you get some card packs, apparently. I've still not finished it towards the end.
Yeah, so I'll correct you on that. You don't get a card pack. You get a card back. So
for the puzzle thing.
Yeah, so you I finished the puzzle lab yesterday.
Okay.
And like, first of all, I could not finish it without a guide, so I'll confess right up straight off the bat. Essentially, like, I reached a point where there were some puzzles which essentially required you to play some 18 or 19 different sets of moves in the exact same order. So it's not like every puzzle has two or three solutions. So some puzzles have a specific order in which you have to play the cards in, only then will you be successful.
Okay.
So at that point I was like, okay, it's not worth it to spend like hours and hours just like figuring out how or in what order to play these cards to be successful. And I went online and I checked some of the guides, and then only for like the later levels did I need these, but at every puzzle set I needed a guide towards the end. So I finished the whole thing, and I got a custom card back, which is essentially just like, you know, like playing cards, they have a front side and a back side. So the back side usually has some flower pattern, or like if you're really cool, then some Batman face or something. So yeah, that I got a customized card back, which felt like really underwhelming. I would have really liked to see some kind of a legendary card or some, I don't know, legendary extension to my cards or some gold level cards or
something.
You're
not getting, those things for doing something which is available for free for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to pay money to get
that,
those things.
And my issue with the multiplayer thing is that, first of all, that magnetic thing like looks cool, but I don't like that mechanic that much. Essentially, like, it's, what is that, Voltron? Yeah, Voltron style thing where like you can start with like one attack cards and then you pile all those to the left continuously and make it like a giant mech which is super powerful. All good in theory, but once you start playing, you'll realize that you know, to get any kind of powerful deck, you have to have been invested in the Hearthstone ecosystem and been following the game and playing it regularly and getting card packs regularly to be competitive. Because all the top decks, they'll have some cards that you'll need to craft or buy, and to get the best cards, even in this expansion, which is the Boomstay expansion, you will have to buy some card packs or, you know, play the game enough so that you unlock them all. There are just like some 100 plus cards in this, and of these, to get the good ones, it's not like you can say that I want this good one and I want to buy it right now. You'll have to like buy the packs and hope that, you know, in a random, what is that, the loot box type style thing where you unlock some cards, you'll get it or not. So, not a huge fan of the multiplayer aspect either, especially like if you've not played Hearthstone in a while. But the puzzle lab, I would say, okay, it's worth playing if you want a good challenge. It's definitely very well designed, but it doesn't add anything in terms of story, which was a pretty disappointing thing considering that previous Hearthstone expansions had some good story as
well.
They
stopped doing the story thing a while ago though, but yeah.
Yeah, that, and yeah, the reward. Oh my God, the reward was so bad that, you know, it just made the whole thing feel a bit disappointing.
I don't know, card backs are nice. I have like a lot of them.
But you get one card back for completing 100 puzzles. That's,
yeah, but like
each
time you play Hearthstone, like when you're playing online, you use only one card back, right? You don't have multiple card backs. So it's like just another design to add to your collection, because this is about collecting cards.
Yeah.
So yeah, that whatever.
Yeah, so that's what, right? I would have loved to see some cards to collect for completing the puzzle.
Yeah, but they gave like 4 packs or 5 packs for just logging in when the puzzle lab went live.
Yeah.
And if you get the expansion, they gave, I mean, there were 2 tiers to get it. There was one with 50 packs, one with 80 packs, which gave you a legendary, like a cosmetic hero replacement, also Mecha Jiraxxus and all,
yeah,
which you can only get by doing that, and I think it's not available anymore or stuff like that. So
is Mecha Jiraxxus is D.Va's mech?
No.
From Overwatch?
No.
Okay.
Overwatch in 2018.
Exactly.
What? Hearthstone in 2018.
Like, these things need to be on iPad for them to be relevant now. So
yeah. Also, the iOS apps of Hearthstone are not very well optimized anymore. Like, you get a phone call and it gets disconnected. So something's wrong with the netcode.
I feel bad for you that you had to play Hearthstone on the phone. That's all.
Yeah. So even when playing on iPad, right, if I switch between 2 or 3 apps and then I come back to Hearthstone, it says that you've been disconnected from the game and then come back and all that. So that netcode, there's something wrong with it. It's not as good as it was earlier for me.
Okay, not run into those things, but yeah, like playing on the phone is definitely the worst way to play Hearthstone.
Yeah.
Except I think they had a partnership with Nvidia a long time ago for one of their tablets where they let you actually play it with a controller, and someone posted a video of that and said it really works well, and like that's when you learn to like stop trusting people online. So yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, let's not get into, you know, things that have been happening with you know, Nvidia,
yeah,
and influencers recently.
Now. Yeah, but then I mean, they've been doing weird stuff for a while.
But yeah, there's ray tracing, so all is forgiven, right?
No, nothing is forgiven.
All right, let's retrace some of our steps here and end the podcast on this rather cheery note. That's all we have for this episode of Transition, and we will see you with another episode next week. As always, don't forget to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com. The music for this episode comes via Magnus Solai Paulsen, whose album PPP PPP is where the tracks are from. And if you like this show, don't forget to subscribe to us on Android via the Google Podcasts app, and on iPhone via the Apple Podcasts app. Thank you so much for listening.